Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning. Good morning.
And we are joined right now by our good friend Stephanie Hartman from the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Good morning, Stephanie. How have you been?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. And any chance we can to take time to talk about our Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Love being able to do that. There is so much going on over there, Stephanie. I don't know where to start. Where do you want to start?
Well, I guess quickly, we have 3 days left to see the exhibit that's up. And it sounds like the weather is going to get ugly, so maybe you want to come today.
Yeah,
we're open 10 till 5, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So those are the last 3 days of our mixed media exhibit. The artists featured in that exhibit are Katie Jasek, Ben Jennings, Aaron Nicholson, Mary Olson, Lori Tempest, Jeannie Weymouth, and Mark Zegon. And it's a really great exhibit. If you have a chance, I'd encourage you to stop in.
Yeah, some really beautiful looking art there.
Yes.
And some great local art, too.
Yes, all the artists are local except one that has moved out of the area. We've had actually some really great sales with this exhibit as well. And it's so different from jewelry to mixed media pieces to light fixtures. We've got everything. So it's a really great exhibit, and our gift shop is looking fantastic. So you'll want to check that out as well.
Be sure to check that out. Yes.
Yeah.
Again, great local things that you're going to find there and stuff that you can't find anywhere else.
That's right. And we actually have a few new artists, which I'm really excited about. We're trying to get the word out, and we have some new things and some of our staples. So come in and see what we've got.
One of the things that I did want to mention with you, a really fun idea that I hadn't noticed until you reached out the other day and asked about coming on and everything. We were talking about that, the paint with the police.
Yes.
That's an awesome idea.
Yeah, we're
this.
Super excited. So many people know Tom Pease very well. He's a great kids entertainer. And we noticed that there's no school on March 3rd, on Friday. Mm-hmm. And we know that there's a lot of people that just kind of struggle. Like, what are we going to do all day? I really would like to get the kids out of the house. So we had this idea to have Tom Pease entertain and then paint with the police after. So the event is 1 to 3:30 on Friday, March 3rd. The doors will open at 1. The music will be 1:15 till 2. And then we'll have paint with the police after. And I just think it's a great opportunity for our police to be with the kids in a nice, safe, non-threatening environment. So we're really pleased that the WRPD, the Wisconsin Rapids Professional Police Association, and Wood County Sheriff's Department are all co-hosting and sponsoring with us. So we appreciate that.
We've talked about this with some of the people over there. We've talked about it with Sheriff Becker quite a bit. Any opportunities to build that gap between kids and our officers, or our community and our officers, and make that just more and more kosher, never a bad thing.
Right.
And there's no bad side to that.
Exactly. And unfortunately, I think there's an intimidation factor of younger children and police, and this will be a great opportunity for them to just sit down at a little table with them and let's paint a picture. We're going to have little badges that the kids can paint and take home.
That's
so
awesome.
We'll have all sorts of fun.
That's going to be cool. There are, of course, I want to make sure to touch on the things you want to, Stephanie. I'll mention my stuff a little bit later because I got things I wanted to mention you guys are doing too. But
sure.
Where do you want to go next?
Our next call for art is it's something we haven't really tried before. So it's called Aspiring Artists. Are you an artist aged 9 to 99 years young that has not exhibited your art before at the Cultural Center? So we know there are a lot of people out there who are very talented and who are very hesitant about, you know, they have people saying to them, why don't you display somewhere?
Yeah.
Here is the opportunity. Mm. So we will be accepting pieces March 7th, 8th, and 9th. We will accept 1 to 3 pieces, all mediums accepted. Of course, we have some specifications like how do you mark your art so we know whose it is. Mm. All of that can be found on our website. Or if you prefer to not use the internet, you can give us a call and we can mail you the forms or you can stop in and pick them up. But that display then will go March 14th through April 20th. And we will have our opening Meet the Artisans. We'll invite all the artists in. We'll have our opening night March 16th from 5:30 to 7:30.
This is open mic night for artists.
It is. That's exactly what it is.
That's awesome. That's a really cool idea.
Yeah, and I'm really excited because we've had a couple people stop in and they have pictures of what they do and they say, I assume this isn't good enough or I assume this won't be accepted. It's like, no, we are looking for everything, all mediums. We've had a couple high schools jump on board that they have some students that are going to submit. So, yeah, we're excited. And what a nice opportunity for artists in the area to just kind of take that chance and say, you know what, I'll put it out there. You can mark it not for sale. We've had people say, oh, I'm just so tied to that piece.
Yeah,
I couldn't, you know, I worked on that and I don't know that I want to sell it, but you could still show everyone.
Yeah.
But you can also mark it for sale and you never know, you might have a sale.
That, I mean, that is such a cool opportunity for people to give them that opportunity. Also, not just to sell their art or display their art, to build their confidence as an artist.
Absolutely.
That is a very unique opportunity that not a lot of people can offer, not a lot of people do offer. That's a really cool thing to do. I think that's a great idea. Love
that. We're excited. And we've had several proud grandparents in saying, oh, I would love for my granddaughter, grandson to, you know, put something in. How, you know, how do they do this? So we kind of talked through the process. And I, you know, it's a way to give some opportunity for kids.
Yeah.
You know, besides school, they don't have a lot of opportunity to display. So we hope that we'll get some kids as well.
Every one of us as adults should take it on ourselves that any time you have an opportunity to build a child's confidence, take it.
Absolutely.
Take it. Do it.
Absolutely.
That is especially creatively. And especially when it comes to something like this, because most people are their own worst critic.
Yes.
Creatives, times that by 1,000.
Yes. Artists are amazing to me. I just shake my head. Like, are you kidding? That's fantastic.
Did you have another thing there?
We do have a bunch of classes this week, okay, and we have a couple openings. However, we don't know what's going to happen with the weather.
Yeah.
So just stay tuned. Check our website. Give us a call, and we'll keep you posted on those. But we do have a couple openings in our needle felting class and beaded string necklaces with Mary Olson. Those are all this week. So check our website. If you're interested, give us a call. We'll throw you on the list. And then if we cancel, I'm thinking we're going to reschedule just to next week if we can. So stay tuned on that.
When it comes to some of the other things you guys offer, you mentioned the classes. I wanted to make sure to mention that, too. There's always great classes, not just there, but the Cultural Center is always open to teaching as well. If you have a skill set or you needlepoint or something like that and you want to teach a class about it, reach out to Stephanie and the gang, and then maybe they can work some out.
Yes, absolutely. We're always looking for new teachers, and you don't have to feel like, you know, oh, I'm going to have to teach 30 students at a time and I'm going to be overwhelmed. We limit class sizes based on your comfort level. We pay our instructors for their prep time and their teaching time. So reach out to us. We'd love to have you.
There is the Writer Share program I wanted to mention. That's a free admission thing, the second Wednesday of the month, is it?
Yes, and that has just started. So March will be our second month, and we'd love for anyone that's interested in writing to join that group. It's a really nice opportunity to share your work with others and see what others are doing. And along those same lines, we have Artist Coffee on Thursday morning. Now, again, we'll see based on weather. Otherwise, it is always the last Thursday in the month from 9 to 10:30. And that's really grown and has been a great way for artists to share ideas with each other and kind of to say, you know, I have this piece, I like it, but what would you do different? So it's nice feedback time.
The Cultural Center, like, always was kind of meant to be this, and it has been for a very long time. I think it's just becoming a little bit more common knowledge that this is a sanctuary for artists. This is a great place for artists. Whatever type of art you do, whatever type of creativeness you dive into, this is a place for you. This is a place to come and bring your work, and a place for people who enjoy that stuff to be able to take it in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our visibility is obviously much better on 8th Street. So we're enjoying that. But we still, I mean, daily have people say, I had no idea this was here. So help us spread the word. It's a really great place, and we'd love for more people to be involved.
And I have to wrap up contractually because Pete and I'd love Pete. So I have to mention Pete Ravel and Four on the Floor, free admission, 3 to 5. That is every Thursday, I believe.
It is the first and third Thursday, of the month. So it will be March 2nd. It'll be next Thursday, and hopefully by then we'll be through the snow, and you can come out and listen to some live music.
Oh, not only some of the better jazz you'll hear and some great music, but Pete is so good at emceeing and talking to the crowd and everything. God, he's good.
Yep, they're great.
Stephanie, we talked about a lot, covered quite a bit here. The things that we've talked about, if people have follow-up questions or want to know some more about this, where should we send them?
Sure. The website is culturalcenterarts.com. You can call us at 715-421-4598. Whatever you're the most comfortable with, and you can always stop in. Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. There's always someone there to answer your questions. But again, if you just want to find out more, don't hesitate. Give us a call, and we'll talk things through. Or our website is absolutely loaded with information, so you can get a lot of information there as well. The entry forms for the call for art are on our website as well, so you could print those off there.
And what is the deadline for that?
So you can bring pieces in March 7th, 8th, and 9th.
Okay.
So we'll just be open during those days and those hours, and you come on in and bring your pieces, and we'll walk you through that process.
We'll be sure to mention that on the air and remind people about
it
and
great.
Encourage them to send it over.
But, great.
Thanks for stopping by, Stephanie.
Well, thanks
appreciate
for having
it.
Me.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk again real soon.
Okay, sounds great.
Melissa and I will be back after this break with some more for you on The Morning Show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone, to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. And again, a big shout out to Stephanie Hartman joining us. Always good talking with her from our friends from the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center.
Mm-hmm.
Scientists in China say you can lose weight by cutting your food into little pieces.
Okay. Hmm.
There are a lot of diet and fitness goals that involve tricking yourself, which is fine, except that you know you're tricking yourself. So if only it only works as long as you buy into it. Here's another example. A new study out of China says that you can lose weight just by cutting your food into tiny pieces and scattering them across your plate. I have another way that you can lose weight similar to this. You cut your food into tiny pieces and you put it like on the other side of town.
I was going to say, you hide them around the room.
You put it right out of reach. That you know, just right out of reach. Just so you barely get it. The idea is that you cut calories by eating less, and people tend to eat a particular portion size rather than eating until they are full. So instead of taking a smaller portion and thinking you're eating less, you spread your food all over the plate and trick yourself into thinking you're eating more than you are.
Okay.
They learned this from watching children when they were told to eat their vegetables and they didn't want to. And so I don't know if you ever did this because you seem like a good kid, Mel. You probably ate your vegetables, but I would spread them out on the plate and look like, you know, like move them around so it looked like I had ate some of them.
Mm, we had to eat all of them. We didn't have that option.
Yeah. Mom never fell for that one. Not once. Not even close did she fall for that. So... I don't know.
It takes more effort to cut your food up and spread it around your plate. So I guess you're burning a few more calories then and putting more effort in on the front end. But your food's going to get cold.
Mm. In one part of the study, they cut up chocolate bars and placed them, plated them in different ways. Then they found that people thought they were getting more when they were spread out with spaces in between the pieces.
Okay.
Again, this is all, you know, conning yourself. That's
right.
What you're trying
and
to do.
And it's all
here.
A visual thing that you're doing to yourself. But that's true. I mean, you can trick your brain. Think about the optical illusions that we can fool our brain with.
Oh, yeah. You can call it tricking, you can call it conning yourself, or you can call it rewiring your brain. But I did this. I spent the first half of my, more than the first half of my life, just being very negative and being very quick to, you know, look at the glass, not just as half empty or half full, but, oh my God, that's all I got to drink. How am I going to make that last? Like, you know, and I'm panicking.
Constant
oh God.
Pessimism.
Yes, yes. I work. I spent a long time, at least a year, every morning, every day, anytime something negative happened and where my brain wanted to go that route, I immediately stopped it and went and thought of something positive or thought of something something positive that had happened that day or something like that. Now I can't help myself. I automatically look for silver linings. I automatically look for the positive before the negative of something. I always wanted to be this type of person where I approach life this way. I finally become the person where I hope for the best and plan for the rest.
Mm-hmm. James, my tea bag told me this morning Don't use your mind. Use your mind. Don't let it use you.
Ooh. Oh, that's a smart tea bag.
Yeah.
That's a smart.
Use your mind. Don't let it use you.
I don't think I've ever said that before. That is a smart tea bag. That's really good. I like that. That's a good quote. Of all the days.
Thank you, Family Natural Foods.
Yes. Yes. Shout out to Family Natural Foods. A good morning to the gang over there. By the way, that new ad sounds great. I really like that new ad of theirs.
Good. Yeah.
That was a really good one.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have some amazing Buddha teas. I just got a bunch yesterday.
Buddha tea. I don't think I've had that. I got to try that.
Well, it's a brand of tea.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the one I drank this morning was horsehair tail.
Interesting. I'd try
that. I got a bunch of them. I'm excited. This
time of year especially, I should be drinking much more tea than coffee, just for the job that I do and to respect the audience and give them a voice that's working. I really should be drinking more tea.
But it is interesting how we can trick our brains. We were, I was actually watching a show with one of the girls, and it was about how if food looks disgusting, like if it looks like something gross, it will taste gross to you, even if it's something you love.
You've seen the trend. I think many people have seen the trend where it looks like one food, but then they cut into it and it's a different food.
Mm-hmm.
Like it looks like cake and they cut into it and it's meatloaf, you know, that kind of thing. I think that's the only way to trick me into eating some of those things as far as conning our brains and everything. Like, it looks like cake. It's mashed potatoes. It's like, But it'd get me to eat healthier.
Maybe.
You know, we all do some version of this in one way or another. I think you're lying to yourself if you think you've never done anything like this before. Some maybe not as extreme as some things, but there is how many times when we're not feeling good do we look in the mirror and say, "You're looking good today, man. Looking good today," you know, or something like that. Like we do that
you
kind of thing.
You can get through this. You can do it.
Just got to fake it till you make it, that whole phrase, like that, things like that. We do this all the time. If it works, great. But I wouldn't beat yourself up if it doesn't either.
No.
Just keep trying. There's things out there. You're going to find the right thing that'll work for you. This isn't it. It's actually not a bad thing to fail at these things because that's just one thing. Okay, I can check that off the list. You wouldn't
don't
know unless
try
you
that
try.
Again.
Yeah, you wouldn't know unless you try. There's
that's
certain
true.
Things you don't need to do that with. Human beings can't fly.
Nope.
There's certain things you probably don't need to attend, but you know, stuff like this.
We can't breathe underwater.
Nope. Not very good at it. other things, yeah, you can try some of this other stuff.
James, I'm not cutting my food up and spreading it around my plate, sorry.
I'm not doing this. But I'm trying to, I'm actually trying to make myself try foods that I don't normally like. And as far as the weight thing, I'm on the other end of the spectrum, and I respect people that are trying to lose weight.
Mm-hmm. And if something works for you, go for it.
Yeah.
But as long as it's healthy.
That's the thing. Because, like, the idea, I remember growing up, there was a lot of people that would do this, especially in sports, boxers that I knew that had to make a weight or something like that. I'd just eat less. And then they'd go up there and weigh themselves, and they'd weigh more. Or they didn't understand. All they drink was water. Well, you know,
there's repercussions for that.
Yeah, that puts on weight. And your metabolism is not going to handle that well if you're eating this certain way the whole time, and then for a month or a week or whatever, you decide not to eat that way and just not eat. Your body's just going to eat itself.
Right. How are you going to perform the athletic sport that you need to do if you haven't given your body any fuel?
Mm. That is the crux of that and why a lot of those boxers lost those fights. we see this happen in MMA a lot, too, nowadays. But it teach their own, you know. I mean, figuring out what works for you is what this is all about. And maybe this might work for you. It's worth trying if you think it's worth trying, then it's worth trying.
Sure.
Go
for it.
Yeah. Take a break. We'll come back and we'll get into. Well, we'll come back after Melissa's news. We'll get to that first. And then we'll come back and have some fun with some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day. It's Melissa and I together. Who knows what trouble we'll get into? We still got a half an hour show left. There's plenty of time.
Yes, we do.
More of that coming up for you on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings here at WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. It is not too late for you to join us. Mm-hmm. I forget, 82 or 83, whenever this song came out, Julian Lennon's Much Too Late for Goodbyes, and my father, being the biggest John Lennon fan I'll ever know, gave his son the middle name John. I could not wait to tell my father when I heard this on the radio, Dad, it's Julian Lennon. And, oh, this is a really good song. Like, yeah, Dad, I think he's going to be as big as John. My dad just looked at me, just smiled, and didn't say a darn word. Julian Lennon had one hit in his career, but he has had many hits that he's produced. He's turned on to the producing side of things and everything for the last, I think, 20 years or so. Very well respected in the music game. Like, I think it's fair to say that as far as a producer, he has made a name for himself outside of his last name.
Done.
We are going to get into an interesting one here. Young people get criticized for living beyond their means. They're just starting out their careers, and yet they're bleeding money on rent, cars, bars, dates, and all these other things, and college loans. I don't think a lot of that is kind of their fault, but we can keep moving here. But now they're supposed to be shelling out about $4,000 on Amore.
Armoire.
A new report says that people can get away with buying cheap, mass-produced furniture until they're 28. But after that, you need to stop buying furniture on furnishings on Amazon or at IKEA and instead get the good stuff. 56% of people say fast furniture, this is what they're calling this, is fine until a certain age. And 47% admitted that they'd judge an adult who had fast furniture in their home. But that's a little dramatic, especially for younger adults who are still working on their career and who haven't settled down. If you're still in a transitional stage, it seems smart to have transitional furnishings. Mm-hmm. That said, the Fast and the Furious poster can go. Probably don't need that up anymore. It's interesting to watch your friends and family members or brothers and sisters evolve. Like a lot of people, I think, I lived alone the majority of my life, and I didn't have much on my walls or anything like that. There's an old Michael Jordan poster of him stretching his arms and holding two basketballs. I had that up. I had that, and I had Van Gogh's the guitarist. I had that up too. So like that's it. But like that was all. My furniture was pretty much what was in the apartment, and like a beanbag chair. I think I'm pretty sure I had a bed, but it was on the floor. That's how I lived for a long time, and then I started living with the girl I was dating at the time, and. I did not bring anything from my apartment to her new place. none of it was allowed. None of it. I've seen this with friends where they evolve from these things and they start growing up and doing that kind of stuff. I think that that's all well and good if you want to do it.
Right.
This idea that you turn a certain age
you have to do something.
I'm going to take those blue jeans from you. Here's some Dockers. But I don't want to wear Dockers. No, you got to wear Dockers. You're over 40. You have to wear Dockers. No, I don't want to wear Dockers. I don't feel comfortable in them. No, I'm sorry. These are the rules.
It's the rules.
You have to, by the way, you can't wear your baseball cap backwards anymore. That's also. You can't do that. you can't wear shorts anymore. You can't.
No open-toed shoes.
Yep.
And you should probably be talking like this now, too. So we prefer if you spoke like this from now on. thank you.
Their own.
Exactly. I will be the first to say, hey, there's certain people out there that are kind of trying to hang on to their youth a little too long, maybe. And I think that that's kind of obvious when you see that. Then there's some people, this is just who they are.
It's just what they like.
You go ahead and tell Adam Sandler to stop dressing the way he is. Like, you tell one of the most successful people from Saturday Night Live's history to stop going to every interview in sweatpants. Like, no, we're not going to tell the Sandman what to do. It's been working for him pretty darn good. I say keep doing what you're doing, Adam.
Mm-hmm. But I think that it's a view that gets pressed on young people from the previous generation because it was what was expected of them. And they didn't have a lot of the things that, I shouldn't say that the previous generation. I'm thinking like way back when. Like how many people had movie posters on their walls?
Mm-hmm.
But... like my younger, I have a younger brother that's how they decorate their house. They have movie posters on all upstairs, and then on their downstairs, it's mostly they decorate with puzzles on the wall and games everywhere.
I think it's all
what they like.
I think it's a lot about the type of movie poster, but to each their own. You know, I think that's a big part of it. I also think that we do too much judging on this stuff. Like, take care of your own backyard. What are you doing worrying about what another person's doing with their putting on their walls or what type of furniture they have? Like, where did we get to this point in society where it was okay to be that judgmental? Like, now we're kind of basically telling people that, hey, at a certain age, once you turn 29, you've got to completely, you know, change this, this, and this about yourself. We're not even talking about how much money this is going to spend to do any of these things. And boy, when's the last time you met a 20-year-old with a exposable, you know, disposable income?
And how many, you know, students, people, young people that are going to college or have gone to college are going to even be able to fathom buying any of those things anytime soon?
Yeah. How about a single
taking on more debt?
Right. A single parent that maybe they've been putting their money into, I don't know, their kids and can't go out and buy new, you know, things for their walls and furniture and all this stuff.
Right. That's not the important things in life.
No. To me, this is one of those ones where my mom was right. Like, if that's what they're thinking, they aren't your friends anyway, Jimmy. Like, that, you know, right. That you don't need people like that in your life.
No. Right. Don't need people telling you what to put on your walls. You don't need people telling you what books you can read and you can't read.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could take this a whole lot further, but I digress.
I didn't mind it. I didn't mind it. look, we, I know it's in a completely other part of the country than us. That doesn't mean a darn thing. That still counts. If it could happen there, it can happen here. And if the idea of banning books, people doing something that the Nazis did, that I don't know. To me, that stands out a little bit. I don't think it takes being a Jew to be a little bit sensitive to these things. So, like, that should be catching everybody's eye.
Well, what's even scarier, James, I don't know if you saw the headlines this morning, the Robert Dahl.
I was going to say it, but yeah.
Yeah. The company is rewriting his books. They are changing things in his books that he wrote. That's censorship.
You know what a lot of this comes down to me, is lazy parenting. And I just got done not judging people and everything like that. And I'm being hypocritical. and I own it. I own that I am being. But this comes down to, well, if I'm sitting there reading a Ronald Dahl book with my child and something inappropriate or something that maybe hasn't aged that well comes up.
So, for instance, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Mm-hmm.
For parents that don't know.
You have an opportunity as a parent here to teach.
Yep.
Because that's part of your job as a parent. You're supposed to teach your kids. I am sorry to make parents do what parents are supposed to do, but this is kind of part of your job. Now, can you watch your kids every waking moment? Obviously not. That's why we have parental control on things. And when it comes to books, that's why we talk to kids about, hey, what you reading? Hey, how was that book? What part did you find interesting? Oh, by the way, this about that book is wrong. Or this is, we've learned. At a different time, we thought this. We have learned. We don't put leeches on ourselves anymore. You know, you can bring up plenty of examples of, hey, we've learned and grown and it's okay. Nobody's clamoring, we should be putting leeches on ourselves still. How dare we stop doing that? No, because we learned that's silly. We're not going to do that anymore.
There are other better methods.
Yeah, there's better methods.
But you keep maligning the leeches, James. There's a purpose for those. No, I'm sorry.
No. I'm glad this came up, actually, because I haven't talked about this before, and it's not easy for me to talk about, but I do have an issue with leeches. When I was little, when we were living in Batavia, we had a big swamp behind us. We didn't have a playground to play on, so me and my friends would try to jump from one stump to the other or something. And I made a jump once because I was the tallest, and I always had to go a step above everybody. And I made the jump, Melissa, but I fell backwards. My right arm from my elbow down fell into the swamp, and I pulled it up. And I went to, you know, point of number one in the air to my friends, like, hey, I made it and everything. And I did this, and they started freaking out because I looked at my arm, and there was about five or six leeches on it.
Oh,
and we're city kids. We have no idea what to do. None. So we're... this is at a high rise, and I don't know how much this happened. I think this still happens, but at the high rise we were in, it had the, like, washer and dryers in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking around for a sink that worked. so we could pour water on the leeches because we thought the hot water would get them off. I think maybe even one of my friends said something like that. And I remember as we're running around doing this, it was at least like 20 minutes we're running around while these leeches are on my arm and everything, thinking, wait a minute, we just took them out of water and the thing that gets them off is water? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't understand that. But so I should be honest, I do have, me and leeches and I, we go back. We got some history. We got some history.
Okay. That's understandable.
I want to take this moment to apologize to the National Leech Foundation. To all leeches out there, I am sorry for letting my prejudice get into this.
To their previous medical uses, because they did have some. Mm-hmm. But yes, now there are better methods. And I'm sorry for your trauma as a child.
It's all I needed. Thank you, Melissa. Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome.
I just needed to be heard.
Themselves? Did they fall off themselves, though? Because after 20 minutes, they probably had to be getting pretty full.
They were actually, like, I think, like, two or from a head falling off while we were running around.
Because you probably could have just stuck your thumb under them and popped them off.
I learned that, like, 20 years later. Like,
Or sprinkled a little salt on them. I mean, that's really traumatic for the leech, because they probably wouldn't survive it, but...
You're talking about kids that saw guns and knives and these kind of things literally every day. We were facing that stuff. But leeches, God, no. Like, it just freaked us out. Like, might as well have been aliens on my arm.
I feel sorry for Tiny James.
I'm looking at my forearm right now, and I swear I can still see him. I swear. I think the bottom line here, don't judge each other. I mean, you know, teach their own.
We all have different life experiences and different things that make us who we are. But to be able to have those conversations and talk to each other about it, if there's something in a book that bothers you, have a conversation about it.
Yeah.
If your child is reading something at school that you're not sure how you feel about, maybe read it yourself. Maybe talk to the teacher about it. Talk to your child about it. These are conversations that need to be had.
Power there's power in choice. There's power in letting people make their decisions, and and knowledge. Yes.
But if we suppress things and we censor things, we're just going backwards.
We're just a dictatorship.
Yeah.
That's all we are. We're a glorified dictatorship that's lying to the rest of the world of what we are. And that's not what I believe America
is.
And
that's not what America is.
That's not, I don't believe most of our fellow Americans believe that that's what it is either. I do believe in that good will win. I've seen it too much in my life to not believe it. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we're going to talk about doing number one. Everybody put your mature hats on. We're taking a commercial break, so you can find your mature hat, put it on, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about that. When we come back here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here hanging out with you. We are going to be hanging out in just a little bit with our friends from the Save for the Arts, from the we're looking forward to Sally Kistner from Save for the Arts joining us. She's the executive director over there. Eric Britnocker from the PAC is going to join us, and I love talking to them, and I will ignore them completely because Lindsay Deutsch is coming here. Creator, lead violinist for Take Three. I cannot wait to talk to her. I'm just basically biding my time until I get a chance to. And then we got somebody coming in part two. I'm joking. I cannot wait to talk to Sally and Eric. Love talking with them. They always give us insight to not only the event itself, but behind the scenes stuff of what led up to it. And of course, CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, my big sister, Terry John's going to be joining us in a little bit to talk about some United Way events, and looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a great morning magazine to kick off the week. Right now, again, mature hats on, everybody. We're talking about going number one. Talking about going number one. Here is a weird fact you never wanted to know. Every animal that weighs more than 6.6 pounds empties their bladder in 21 seconds.
21 seconds.
Animals with bigger bladders have stronger streams. Smaller bladders have weaker streams. Not telling you that so that you can share it with an anecdote at unappropriate times or anything like that, like a meeting or when you meet your girlfriend's parents or something like that. Probably not the greatest thing to introduce, hey, I got a random fact for you. That's probably not going to win you over or anything like that.
Probably not.
But it can actually help you be healthier because all of us should be going for 21 seconds. Time yourself.
Wow.
It takes you less time than, if it takes you less time than that, then you went to the bathroom too soon. If it takes you more time, you went to the bathroom too late.
Okay.
Either way, you're doing a disservice to your bladder and training it wrong, which can lead to overactive bladder issues as you get older.
Okay.
Was talking earlier about rewiring your brain. That is not the only organ that you can rewire.
Hmm.
There's more. If you feel like you have to pee all the time, but you're not around that 21-second mark, it could be a sign of things that like bladder stones, cysts, or prostate issues, and it's worth talking to a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, those kind of things, especially when it comes to cancer, if they are caught early, can be prevented. And every one of you we want around as long as humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
So these, while it may seem like a little silly of an issue, and it may seem like a little bit,
embarrassing.
personal or embarrassing to think about or talk about, we're facing this because we care about you and we want you to be around long time. So get over the embarrassment part, get over any little insecurities you have about this, and time yourself. I say this as somebody who deals with kidney stones on a yearly basis. They ain't fun. All my kidney stone people out there are raising their hands right now. Like, yep, it is not easy. And that's just that. We're not even talking about prostate issues or bladder stones or these kind of things. That what a simple test that we can all do to be able to figure this out. Now, it's not to say that that is automatically, oh my gosh, I have bladder stones or something like that, but it's worth checking out.
Yeah.
And it's something that you're going to do this anyway. You got to do this. So, I mean, you know, I don't know if you figured out a way around it, please. James@WFHR.com. I'd love to hear what your method is. But, we got to all do this. You might as well count it out, time it, see how you're doing. I don't think that necessarily you have to do this every time you go. I don't think that it's maybe that. But, you know, it's not a bad idea.
It's an interesting and easy test.
Yeah. I don't think it's every time I go 21 seconds, so I'm perfectly fine. Like, I don't think that. I'm not saying that so much.
Or, well, every time I go, it's only 18 seconds.
Right.
I'm going to die. No.
But I do think that it's noteworthy if, hey, wait a minute, this is taking me very little time every time I go in. Or, wait, this is taking me way too long every time I go. So.
Interesting.
I do, like, oftentimes in the morning show here and doing Morning Magazine, this was a lot worse back in the day when we had Over the Back Fence and then we had Rock History and all that stuff. I used to be on the air from, 6 to noon. I would have maybe one opportunity in all of that to go just one. I didn't have time to go two. So I after years of doing this and everything, my bladder started not liking that.
Yeah. And I was just thinking that as you're going through those statistics and the numbers, and I know I have many teacher friends who, choose to not drink water during the day because they don't have time to pee. And you can't hold it all day.
Feels like and including myself in this, we're doing that wrong.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like the right way to do this.
No.
Got a Then Ain't Right story here for you. Boy, this is a doozy, too. The two main qualifications for a getaway vehicle should be discreet and fast. Well, this guy, 0-for-2. A 36-year-old man in Miami, and we say hello to our listeners in Miami and Tampa and all over in the Florida area. He was arrested for multiple felonies last week. He reportedly stole from a farm back in December and then returned to the scene of the crime last Wednesday afternoon to do some more thieving. Someone called the police and they showed up just in time to see the man, but he escaped in a getaway vehicle, which was a stolen 53-foot refrigerator semi carrying 10 pallets of poultry valued at over $140,000.
Oh boy.
He did not steal the truck from the farm. He'd stolen it earlier and drove it there. So he did intend on that being his getaway vehicle.
Wow.
He led the police officers on a chase. I say chase in quotations. At one point, driving the wrong way down a road straight towards a cop car. That's not funny, of course. Playing chicken with a poultry truck. I don't know. It's a little tricky. He eventually crashed the semi into a fence at a second farm and was apprehended. He's being held on a $54,000 bond. I mean, crime just, obviously can't be perfected, but you would think that there'd be at least some brain cells, like just a couple.
Well,
You can't expect it, though. That's expecting too much.
Yeah, it kind of is. It's not like it is in the movies, James.
Nope. Few things are. We get to some good stories of the day. Two long-lost half-brothers in the UK just found each other at age 85 and 87.
Oh, wow.
They had the same dad, but didn't know about each other until now. One of their granddaughters was researching her family history and figured it out.
Wow.
How cool is that?
That's cool.
That was brilliant. Firefighter.
I wonder if they liked each other.
That's a great question. Oh, that's a good question. Oh, I'd love to be able to. Yeah. That's a good. I like that. That would really suck, though. Like, you meet each other and you have nothing in common.
I found you after all these times. I don't really like you after an hour of spending time together. Yeah, well, life.
Guess we did that. Firefighters saved a dog that fell through some ice in Colorado last month. It was a little tougher than you'd expect because the dog was 150-pound St. Bernard.
Oh, wow.
Poor dog.
Poor guy. But he got rescued.
He just wanted to know what it was like. They're used to saving people.
I'm going to flip the script here.
Yeah. A bunch of students at the University of Florida broke a world record the other day for most fist bumps by a mascot in 3 minutes.
Oh, poor mascot. Probably tired and has bruises on his knuckles.
Their gator mascot stood on their football field while they ran in a circle and fist bumped him over and over and over and over.
So he wasn't moving.
Yeah. The old record was 220, and they crushed it with 340.
Wow.
Not bad. Not bad.
No, not bad. Good group effort.
I wouldn't mind getting our Rafters mascot, maybe, and trying to pull that off, trying to do something like that.
Why don't you do it with the River Kings?
We could do that, too.
Because on skates, they'd be even faster.
Yeah. I was thinking something similar, but you're more accurate there. I like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of sports, a lot of sports in the U.S. are getting more snow this week. Here's a cool way to pass the time. A children's hospital in Colorado is asking people to build snowmen based on kids' drawings.
Oh, cool.
It's the third year they've done it. You can sign up online. Just Google the phrase, say hi with a snowman sign-up form.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you type in, I just typed in, say hi with a snowman, and it popped up.
That's cool.
I think that's one of the cooler ideas I've heard, to be honest.
And what a better way to cheer up kids who can't go out and play in the snow.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just a really, like, fun way to do that, but also just really, like, sweet. Like that. Yeah. That's
it's thoughtful.
Yeah, I like that. That's a really, really cool idea. I like that. Again, go to the website, say hi with a snowman sign up form. And also wanted to mention a guy in England named Gary McKee has been in the news after he ran 365 marathons last year and raised over $1 million for charity.
Wow, that's a lot of marathons. That's like one marathon a day?
That's incredible. I also, that seems almost impossible. I'm not trying to say he was lying. I don't mean that by any means. I just, I didn't even know we could do that.
Well, I mean, if some of them were short, obviously, they had to have been.
Yeah, that's a good point. A 34-year-old in England named Jess Mel just finished I like that, Jess Mel. It almost sounds like I said Just Mel.
Yep.
Just finished up the full year of trying one new thing every day. We talked about this.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was overwhelmed during the pandemic, so she started doing this and realized it made her happy. Well, after we talked about that story, plenty of other news outlets did too, and that has really gained a lot of traction. She's now got a lot of people doing this and jumping in on this movement.
Oh, cool.
I love the idea of this. I love it even more that that she didn't do that intentionally, and here we are where it created this.
Mm-hmm.
You've got
That's
all these.
The best part. It happened organically.
Yeah. I think so much of life is like that, where the beauty of it is in its organicness.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many good stories of the day out there. We know that we've got a lot of local good ones out there. We try to cover as much as we can, but we only got so many people. This is a great opportunity for you guys to be a part of the show, interact with the show. You send us your good stories of the day. You can send them to Melissa or I, really anybody here in our staff, and we'll bring them up on the air if you want. We'll give you credit. We'll name drop you. Maybe if you would like, we can even work it out where you call in and tell us about the story.
Mm-hmm. That'd be great.
We could even do something like that. But most importantly, we want you to interact with our show, be a part of it, and we encourage to hear from you about all those things. Melissa, really fun working with you today. Hopefully, we didn't work you too hard. You can get that nap in, because Mel's going to be busy along with the rest of our news staff here at Civic Media, as we have from 7 to 10 tonight, primary election coverage.
Yes. Well, I got to get to the polls first, James, because I got to get my vote cast, because they close at 8. They're open now. Until 8 p.m. tonight. And as long as you're in line by 8 o'clock, you can vote.
Yeah, keep that in mind, everybody. We will go ahead now and get to some CBS news. But Mel, have yourself a great day, and I hope it goes well tonight.
Thank you, James. You have a good day, too.
Thank you. We'll be back with Morning Magazine coming up right here on... Oh, you know what? I like the way Pam says this. I'm going to go ahead and let her.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.